At some point in the last couple of months, I read something interesting from John MacArthur, and I cannot remember where, but I know it was from John MacArthur. But the point that he was making, and whatever this was that I read, is that everything that God created was made to give. I was spending some time thinking about that. Everything that God created was made to give. And so God, for example, he created the sun and the moon and the stars, and he created them to give light and to give heat and provide us with a way of marking the days and the seasons and the months and the years. God also provided or created the earth to give forth or spring forth plants. And so the earth itself yields a harvest that other creatures that God created can use for food and for sustenance. Of course, God made the high mountains and the depths of the seas and forests and deserts and plains to give shelter and to provide beauty and wonder for the creatures that he had made. And he also designed the crown of his creation. That's you and I, the crown of his creation, human beings. He made us to give. To give of ourselves in love for God and to express that through loving and caring for our creation and for one another. And yet, of all the things that God created, it is fallen, sinful human beings that are the most reluctant, more reluctant than anything else, to give. And so I was, on the one hand, fascinated by this idea, and on the other hand, troubled by this idea as I was preparing this message about generosity. And I want you to understand, I preach these messages, especially the ones from Proverbs that are so pointed. I preach these to myself before I preach them to you. And so I don't stand up here and claim that I have all of this figured out and I'm living in perfect alignment with God's will. This is something that I need to hear, and this is something that you need to hear as well. And so here's the problem and also the challenge before us this morning. Though God, in whose image we are all made, though God is a wonderful giver, we, human beings, are often so reluctant to give. Now, the book of Proverbs and the Bible in general is actually very, very clear about this subject. And so we're not going to make this more complicated than it has to be. The truth is that we, the people of God, image bearers of God, believers in Jesus Christ, are to be generous, generous to a fault. It's as simple as that. Verse 24 and 25, once again, one man gives freely yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. Just embedded in the way things work, generosity is itself a sign of prosperity and flourishing in God's eyes. And so, moving on to verse 25, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And so generosity, it seems, should be a very natural and a very obvious mark of God's people. Now, biblically speaking, generosity seems to be more expected than it does even to be encouraged. This is just who we are. This is just who we are supposed to be. This is who we were made to be, and that shouldn't really be much of a surprise to us, since generosity is a reflection of God's character. I mean, that's certainly the way that Jewish readers of Proverbs would have understood it. And so since our God is comprehensively generous to us, in that he daily provides each one of us with food and with shelter and with protection and with community and with love and with salvation, among other things, that we should reflect that aspect of God's character with lives marked by generosity toward others. That's really the pattern of the whole Old Testament law as well, as expounded by the prophets and of course later on expounded by Jesus. Remember all those commands throughout the Old Testament to look out for and to be generous to the poor and the alien and the widow and the orphan and those who have need, and to do so as a reflection of a generous God that has given each one of us so much. Yes, God's people are to be generous. And if that call to generosity was clear to an Old Testament, Old Covenant Jew, it should be even clearer to New Covenant Christians like you and me. And so as we consider what it means to be a Christian, as we consider what it means to follow Jesus, it certainly means to be generous, even above and beyond the commands of the Old Testament. And that is because we have seen the generosity of God in a way that Old Testament people never did. We have seen the generosity of God supremely displayed in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God the Father didn't even withhold his only beloved Son, but gave him up to die for us. And Scripture tells us that this wasn't even the Father's decision alone. Jesus, the Son, willingly went to death in order to lavish grace and goodness upon us. And not even only that, but he sent us his Spirit as a gift to live in us. And so we see a generous God. A staggeringly generous God, an infinitely generous God, and we respond to his divine generosity with lives characterized by generosity. That's the message of the Bible, and that's the message of the gospel to us with regard to generosity, that it springs first and foremost from a generous God. It's not something that we generate within ourselves. It's not some sort of proving ourselves. It's by no means prideful, like, look at what I did. No, we are empowered and we are enabled to be generous ourselves through knowing how generous God is and wanting to reflect that in our thoughts and our words and our behavior, and being able to do that because we have Christ and his Holy Spirit living within us. And so back to Proverbs. Proverbs tells us, if you want to be someone who follows God, be generous. And that's not all it says, like we were just talking about. It says, be generous out of God's generosity, because it all comes from him first. It says, a generous person will prosper. Now, that in itself is kind of a fascinating concept. And it certainly was a principle that the people of ancient Israel lived by under the Old Covenant. See, under the Old Covenant, the obedience of God's people was linked very, very closely with the prosperity of the nation, particularly the prosperity of the land. And so generosity that reflected the character of God would result in gaining more wealth, gaining more harvest, what have you. But then conversely, a lack of generosity among the people would bring ruin on the land. And so again and again, God told his people, if you stay close to me, if you follow my ways, which naturally includes generosity, I will provide for you in every way, and you will be secure. But then God also says, if you forget me and turn away from my ways, which inevitably means being not generous or lacking in generosity, then famine will certainly come on the land, and you won't have enough, and you won't be secure. And so this principle that runs throughout the Old Testament is the idea that if you are generous, there will be prosperity. Now, we've got to be a little careful with this. As we consider how that principle relates to us, we have to remember that our situation is a lot different. And we also have to remember that we are not living under that old covenant. I think of it kind of as a transactional system. But sadly, there are many Christians, even today, who misunderstand this. And this misunderstanding gives rise to what is commonly referred to as the prosperity gospel or the health and wealth gospel. And then the health and wealth gospel goes something like this. It says, if you give generously, then God will multiply what you have tenfold or a hundredfold. It's a guarantee. And so you see, it's this theology that preys on people's greed. And it only has a perspective that sort of applies to this life and really kind of disregards the life to come in any meaningful way. And so because it is a gospel that preys on people's greed, it's really no gospel at all. See, as Christians, we live under a new covenant, a covenant that was brought into play by Jesus' death and resurrection. And under the new covenant, God's love and mercy and acceptance is available to all people, and it is no longer tied to a specific people or a specific nation. And we know that having received Jesus Christ, that God has lavished upon us spiritual blessings and spiritual prosperity, and we understand it all to be of grace. What do I mean by that? I mean that it is the spiritual blessings that God has given us that provide the motivation for generous living here and now. Because these spiritual blessings, this spiritual prosperity is something that is going to last into eternity. And we who believe in Jesus Christ, have an eternity to look forward to in a new and wonderful creation. That's where we who believe in Jesus are heading. And therefore, we, by the Spirit's motivation and by the Spirit's power, we joyfully use what we have now to serve others. Because we're not concerned with accumulating more and more in this present passing life. We are storing up treasures for the life to come. Now, at the same time, we're still... We still have to recognize and be thankful for the ways that God is daily generous to us in material ways. Because we acknowledge that all material blessings do come from God's hand, and they are to be enjoyed. Now, we can't expect those material blessings because we are Christians, but when we are blessed with material wealth, we acknowledge that it comes from God, and ultimately it belongs to God. And so Martin Luther said this. He said, God put fingers on our hand for the money to slide through them so that he can give us more. Then he says, whatever a person gives away, God will reimburse. And so our scripture passage is a call to generosity, not so that we might gain, but so that we might give, and give more, and give again. Now it's true, God may be generous to us when we are generous to others. That certainly happens, but generosity should never be seen as a way to manipulate God. That's coming at it from the wrong motivation, which means that's coming at it not from the Holy Spirit living within us, but for some other reason and with some other motivation in mind. But look, let's not lose the sight of the forest for the trees. Material blessings are not the only blessings that come from generous living. You know, studies have been done that prove that human beings actually derive emotional benefits from using their financial resources to benefit others. As a matter of fact, the evidence is so overwhelming that it seems to be a universal truth. Generosity benefits us simply because it is the proper and right thing to do. And I think there's a theological reason for that. I think it recaptures how God made us to be. In other words, generosity is consistent with God's design. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. If you sacrifice in order to refresh others, you will find yourself refreshed. Here is one of those spiritual benefits of generosity. So let me just float a suggestion to you this morning. If you're feeling dry in your spiritual life, if your desire is for God to refresh and energize you and to give you a new perspective and new motivation, one way to pursue his blessing of renewal is to refresh someone else. Be generous to others and enjoy the refreshment that comes from God. And so, we are to be generous, which is consistent with God and consistent with God's word, and a perfectly appropriate response to God's generosity to us, both material and spiritual. Here's the final piece of the puzzle. I'm not just talking about finances here. We're not just to be generous with our finances, but in every aspect of life. And so, how do we express generosity in situations that we find ourselves in? How do we live out a generous lifestyle, the generous lifestyle that Proverbs encourages and expects us to live? Well, take a look at verse 26. People curse the man who hoards grain, but blessing crowns him who is willing to sell. Now notice how it says in verse 26, it says, sell, not give. Now, expressing generosity through giving is important without any expectation of getting anything in return. But look, generosity expressed in selling is important too. What's that about? Well, I think what that's about is that business belongs to God and is under the lordship of Jesus Christ, just like every other sphere of life. And so in business, fairness and honesty are important, and they are ways that we can be generous toward one another. And so in the workplace, a person living out this teaching on generosity might look something like this. It's someone who shares information readily. It's someone who shares credit often. It's someone who gives of their time and their expertise willingly and joyfully. See, these examples too reflect the character of a generous God. Now, look at generosity with time in particular. Generosity with time is very rare today. After all, we all know there are countless demands on our time. We live perhaps the busiest lives in all of history. And so God wants us to be diligent about guarding our time. Because there's this difference between time that's demanded of us and time that's freely given. And so we are to guard our time carefully so that we can give of it to someone else freely, so that we can be generous with our time. We can also be generous with our attention. Giving our full attention to another person. How rare is that? How surprising and distinctive would that be? And how valued would that be to another person, giving someone your undivided attention? Well, that means some sacrifices on our part. It means putting our cell phones away, not just on the table in front of us. It means like not multitasking all the time, as though we have to be doing three things at once in order to get everything we need to done in a given day. Yeah, it means giving someone our undivided attention, which subconsciously and I think consciously as well tells them that, you know what, right now, God has put you in front of me and you are the most important thing that I need to attend to at this given moment. We can also be generous with credit, giving credit where credit is due, deflecting praise from yourself once in a while onto someone else. This is so countercultural in the workplace today. Remember what this was like. Everybody's worried about everyone else knowing the things that they did and the ways that they contributed, and to the extent that they would never say something good about someone else for fear that it would detract from what they accomplished. That's kind of the reality today. It's countercultural, but it's such a powerful way of encouraging and building others up. And let's face it, it's truthful too. Simply acknowledging the work that other people do and acknowledging the help that was given and received by others. And so, you know, these are just a number of examples. A number of examples of generous giving, but really, you know, there's something underneath all of this. This is all getting at something much deeper, and it's this. God wants us to have a generosity of spirit that manifests itself in any number of ways. I mean, we could go on pointing to concrete examples of generosity, and we can get creative and look at all these different situations and all these different ways, but the idea isn't to have this checklist of generous things to do and to tick them all off. That really misses the point entirely. God wants us to have a spirit that leans toward generosity, that leads toward sacrificially serving others all the time and in all things. That is the goal. That is what God is creating us to be. That is what we are being transformed into and what we can already begin enjoying today. And we never forget that we're able to do this. We are able to do this because God has lavished grace upon us, and his mercies are new every single day. God is never going to run out, which means we are never going to run out. And we should do this because we have a God whose generosity to us has no end. We have nothing to worry about. And so we live for him, reflecting his character in our lives and drawing others to discover his amazing generosity for themselves. And so we remember these words from our reading this morning. He who seeks good finds goodwill, but evil comes to him who searches for it. Whoever trusts in his riches will fail, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. And the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Amen. Let's pray.